Welcome to the Hannah Miller Show. And here she is, Hannah Miller.
Outspokenly conservative and unashamedly Christian. This is Hannah Miller, and this is what happened this week. So I was mostly uninspired with the stories from this week. There was some things that are interesting. Of course, everything at the southern border is just imploding. But that's going to be rolling out for the next little while. We talked about that last week. Tucker Carlson announced that he's going to be having a show on Twitter. He's just going to kind of be doing his thing there. And so, things like that. There's Donald Trump. He was on CNN. And then there's the court case with him, which is just, the whole thing. Who knows what to believe with the court case? We know some of what to believe. A lot of it is just garbage, especially because he wasn't indicted on actual rape. But anyway, it was defamation. But anyway, that's beside the point. A lot of that, though, I just found we're either kind of in the midst of finding out the truth. It's not quite risen to the fore yet, or we're still finding out what's going on. The situations are ongoing. And so I just was reflecting on what was I going to talk about this week. And I remembered, somebody reminded me actually today, that it's Mother's Day weekend. And so I was ruminating on that and thought, well, I don't really know what I would say as far as Mother's Day weekend. So I thought about it some more and I ran across something that I had written actually a while back. And so I pulled it up and I reread it and thought I would share it with all of y'all. I have not, I never published this piece at the time. I wrote it and then never published it and have never done it as a podcast. So I just thought, now's the time. Now's the time to do it. So let me share a little bit. Let me share this with you in regards to Mother's Day and daughters and planning for the future. My husband and I were married about 2 months when I accompanied him to the campus of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, where he was attending classes at the time. While he was in class, and in order to get out of the heat, because it was just blazing hot that day, I decided to visit the library there on campus. Walking over to the first section inside the door there, I found myself perusing a large wall of magazines. And while I'm not normally, a magazine reader, one particular cover caught my eye almost instantly. There, nestled amongst all manner of magazines, was The Atlantic, proudly displaying the title, Why Women Still Can't Have It All. This particular issue was published on August 15th, 2012, and this specific article was written by Anne Marie Slaughter. If you're not familiar with that name, Anne Marie is an American international lawyer. She's a foreign policy analyst, political scientist, and public commentator. She received a BA from Princeton University in 1980, a Master's of Philosophy from Worcester College, Oxford in 1982, a JD from Harvard Law School in 1985, and a Doctorate in Philosophy and International Relations from Oxford in 1992. So a very well-educated woman. Immediately intrigued, I grabbed the magazine and planted myself in a nearby chair. I was mostly intrigued because I wanted to know what a secular magazine would say on the subject and what their diagnosis would be for why women still can't have it all. What an intriguing thought. This article is quite lengthy and contains quite a few secular ideas I don't necessarily agree with, but the general thrust of it, that our culture needs to recognize family and child rearing as equally important and as valuable as it does a successful career, I find very much agreeable. Within her article, Slaughter makes the socially acceptable assertion that, quote, men are still socialized to believe their primary family obligation is to be the breadwinner, women to believe that their primary family obligation is to be the caregiver. Here is where I was left somewhat dumbfounded, though, because I understand these beliefs are not entirely socialized. That was her, it's just a social construct is essentially what she was saying. And I believe and understand that it's not entirely social construct and that's not entirely socialized into the two genders. And she actually unwittingly acknowledges that fact in her very next sentence, saying this, quote, "But it may be more than that. When I described the choice between my children and my job to Senator Jean Shaheen, she said exactly what I felt. There's really no choice." She wasn't referring to social expectations, but to a maternal imperative felt so deeply that the choice is reflexive. Slaughter beautifully avoids saying the simple truth. Men and women are different. Thus, within women, there is a maternal imperative, as she described it, that men just do not experience in the same way. Why? Well, because God designed us equal but different. Two parts that make a whole. As the great philosopher Rocky Balboa said as he lifted up his hands and interlocked his fingers, "She's got gaps. I've got gaps. Together we fill gaps." I grew up with my dad saying that quote all the time. Each gender was designed with a different set of needs, wants, and motivations that run bone deep and are generally pervasive within each gender. Friend, our culture is trying to fashion you into a sexier version of a man. Secular culture wants women who are driven by the need to achieve successful careers, who aggressively strive for corporate promotions, who are motivated to monetarily contribute to their families. Not that those things are in and of themselves bad things. It's not bad to want to monetarily contribute to your family or to strive for promotions if you're worthy of them or to want a successful career. They're not necessarily bad things. But despite this pressure from society, the majority of women find themselves choosing careers that more easily accommodate a family life. And sometimes, eventually, quite often, choosing their family over a career, just as Anne Marie Slaughter chose. Let's go back to me, to my younger self, sitting in that seminary library. I was 23 with a college degree and many accolades and honors to go with it that all chimed in with the world to tell me the sky's the limit. Furthermore, I was a first-generation homeschooler, which meant the eyes of society weighed heavily upon me, I felt, breathlessly anticipating my failure to attain academic achievement and a successful career, because surely the mark of that homeschooling was a worthwhile endeavor and wasn't the mockery that society had said that it was, would be that if I had to achieve academic success and I had to achieve a successful career, and then I could look at the world and say, huh, look, this homeschooling thing, my parents were right, it's not a failure. And I felt the need to demonstrate my academic prowess and job capabilities. While all of that's true, what's also true is that this article only confirmed for me, from a secular point of view, what my parents had instilled in me and my siblings from a young age. So, this article wasn't necessarily groundbreaking or earth-shattering for me. Yes, my parents were highly educated people. My dad is a medical doctor. My mother was a trained nurse who taught until she became a stay-at-home mother and a homeschool mom. They both put a premium on education. And yes, they told me frequently I could be anything I wanted to be if I applied self-discipline to God-given talents and physical attributes. But they also, and more importantly, taught me the value, the role of the caregiver, and to recognize an immutable fact that while a career is a noble and valuable goal, I was created with, to use Slaughter's words, a maternal imperative. They taught me and they raised me to believe I could be anything I wanted to be, but that God does design women with a need to nurture, with a maternal imperative. Yes, I hear you. There are always exceptions to these things. But as a general rule, women are nurturers. And that's why, statistically, they find themselves choosing careers that more easily accommodate a family life, nursing and teaching, and often, like I said before, choose to leave their career in order to be with their family. So as we formulate plans for college, for life. We all evaluate our God-given attributes. The WNBA is probably not the route for me if I'm only 5 feet tall. Vocal performance is probably not for me if I can't sing a note. Medicine is probably a bad bet if I faint at the sight of blood. You see, each of us possesses a personality, physical attributes, and talents that we carefully develop and evaluate when making career choices. What are the things I'm interested in? What are the things I'm good at? So you dream and plan, but do not be remiss in acknowledging that men and women are hardwired a certain way. And we should always take into account, when making plans for the future, how God has designed the genders. I'm not just someone with a knack for working with horses and dogs. I'm not just someone with a semi-decent eye for photography or an overwhelming need to voice my political opinions. I'm not just someone with a deep-seated desire to help others attain peace in their relationship with the Lord as a biblical counselor. I am also a woman with a maternal imperative that will most likely, according to statistics and history, supersede my other plans. And they did indeed. I have walked away from numerous career opportunities in event planning, in horsemanship, in heirloom photography, in design, in radio, because I wanted to bring the first fruits of myself to my family and my children. Because there was no choice. At the end of the day, there was no choice. I wanted to be home, and I was able to, so I chose to be home with my children. Slaughter later put in her article, this is a long quote, but hang with me. One of the most complicated and surprising parts of my journey out of Washington was coming to grips with what I really wanted. I had opportunities to stay on, and I could have tried to work out an arrangement allowing me to spend more time at home, but I realized that I didn't just need to go home. Deep down, I wanted to go home. I wanted to be able to spend time with my children in the last few years that they are likely to live at home. Crucial years for their development into responsible, productive, happy, and caring adults. But also irreplaceable years for me to enjoy the simple pleasures of parenting. Baseball games, piano recitals, waffle breakfasts, family trips, and goofy rituals. My older son is doing very well these days, but even when he gives us a hard time, as all teenagers do, being home to shape his choices and help him make good decisions is deeply satisfying, end quote. And so the thrust of her article was about how women, even in the 21st century, according to her, cannot have it all because there's just something, because the world tells us that we can have a full career and we can have a full family life. And according to her article, she said, no, I wanted to be home. I couldn't have it all. Deep down, the maternal imperative was that I be home, raise my children. And I'm not saying all of this to say that you necessarily can't have a job or a career outside of the home, but that we don't neglect the home as women. And that as we help our daughters and we raise them up, and this is really more for those parents who are raising up daughters, do not forget this as you help her to plan and reach for the stars. That the reality is that she may, as the world says it, just want to be a mom. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's a worthy thing. So one last thing. Mom, young woman, daughter, the sky is the limit. In 21st century America, there is nothing you cannot accomplish or achieve. But while you're reaching for the sky, remember, God designed you a certain way. Not just as a talented musician, or a phenomenal ball player, or an empathetic doctor, or a brilliant teacher, but also as a woman with a maternal imperative. Consider all of these things when you plan. And remember, when we do what He has called us to do, whether it be teacher, doctor, or stay-at-home mom, when we do these things for His glory, we may not appear to have it all in the world's eyes, but we will be faithful in His eyes. We will find that living for His glory in all that we do is more deeply satisfying than the accolades of political accomplishment, more deeply rewarding than producing a platinum album, and more deeply fulfilling than millions in income. As believers in Jesus, we understand that this world is not our home, that our worth is not, that our worth is found in Him, that being victorious by the world's standards means nothing because our victory is in Jesus. Only in Him do we have it all. So yes, Slaughter is right. We can't have it all. No one can. Man, woman, whether we are engineers, secretaries, teachers, or stay-at-home moms, we won't have it all unless He is our all. Hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day, and I hope you take all of this into consideration as you help your daughters think and plan for the future. And remember that no matter what God has called you to as a woman, whether it be in the marketplace of ideas with a career, or whether it be in the marketplace of the home full-time, none of those things will bring you fulfillment without Him, without doing it for the glory of our Savior. That is when we have it all, when we take it all to His feet.
Thank you for listening to The Hannah Miller Show. Please remember to subscribe to this podcast. This podcast is produced by Bob Sloan Audio Productions. If you'd like to find out more about Hannah or to schedule her for a speaking event, go to her website, thehannahmillershow.com.